Welcome back, Patriot Pals, to the Mel K Show. Most of you know my guest today. I call him the original election integrity rock star. He has been out there fighting on the front lines, and he's a great man and a great veteran and somebody who is doing the hard lifting to expose a lot of truth. Thank you for joining me, Captain Keschel. How you doing?
All right, Mel K. How are you today?
I'm great. Seth Keschel, as you all know, has been out there and since the beginning, and we're getting close to this election, and I wanted to have you back on because the truth is people are nervous. They're nervous about the 2022 election. They don't know how much has changed since 2020, and they are feeling maybe demoralized and let down by what I believe are phony polls. So can you tell my audience a little bit about where you think we are and what people need to be doing heading into November?
Well, the elections are definitely something that are still up in the air. Well, not really a lot of progress has been made on what I call the 10 points to true election integrity. You might have seen that list that's come out. Now, there have been a few changes made. The governor of Florida recently signed a bill that made ballot harvesting into a felony. That's a good thing. But the ballot harvesting is only one segment of the overall fraudulent practices that take place to corrupt elections. We have some decisions that have been made, like in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court decided that drop boxes, unsupervised drop boxes, not only are illegal, but were illegal at the time of the 2020 election. So we have a few things that have come down like that that help. But as far as the most important function of clean elections, which is cleaning out voter rolls, that's not really happened anywhere. We still have inflated voter rolls all over, especially in the major metros. We have more states actually going toward mail-in voting than against mail-in voting, which the entire West is all on mail-in voting. California, Oregon, Washington, Hawaii, Alaska is playing the game now. And we have Nevada that's big into mail voting. Arizona's big into mail voting. Utah, it's insane. So we have a lot of mail voting. And with the mail voting, in order to make sure the turnout is sky high, you have ballot harvesters. And in a lot of those West Coast states, ballot harvesting is 100% legal. So I didn't know that.
That's
California, awful. Washington, it's legal. So that is not an illegal practice to harvest ballots. So you have really the entire poisonous combinations put into effect in a number of these states. So dirty voter rolls, mail-in balloting, mules and harvesters to go collect the ballots, you have a recipe for disaster. And that's before you even consider the fact that machines are likely compromised everywhere they're used as well.
Right. So what should people be focusing on personally doing on the, you know, on the local level, in their, what can the average citizen do right now? I mean, we're getting, you know, time's ticking. You've been working for, you know, since election day to try to change anything, but nothing's really changed that much. So what can people do to empower them or to go locally to try to, you know, encourage any kind of change? Time's fleeting at this point. There's an urgency.
Nobody should be voting by mail if they can help it. Now, people that are in states like Washington, Oregon, they're going to have to vote by mail. Colorado, Utah, that's the only way to vote. But states where it's an option, it's really not a bad idea to request your mail-in ballot so no one else can be assigned your mail ballot.
Right.
And then go vote in person the day of the election. Spoil your ballot at the polls. That's what happened in Arizona. Lots of folks held their mail-in ballots and went and voted in person. There's also a huge debate over whether people should be voting in person or whether they should be voting in person on election day or voting early. And that's because there's been conflicting guidance put out by some different groups. And unfortunately, because of the size of some of these precincts that we have in Maricopa County, some of those precincts have 7,000 to 10,000 registered voters or more. So not everybody can show up on the same day and vote. So we have a lot of work to do. And one of those 10 points to fixing our elections is to cut down on the size of the precincts to 1,200 or fewer registered voters. So we have a decades long repair project ahead of us that has to begin to come down one plank at a time. But it is I always caution people to not be overly optimistic, but as far as these elections are concerned, I think most of the unsavory behavior has already happened in primaries, to where you have most of the folks that have been nominated for the election are somewhat palatable for the political establishment. There aren't too many hard charging types that got through the primaries.
Yeah. I mean, that is what it seems. But what is disturbing, and I think I didn't really realize until, you know, we've been on this journey together, both of us crossing paths all over the country, is that the GOP and the right is as bad as the DNC and the left. We've, you know, everyone's kind of picked a side, where I think right now we have a uniparty, and neither side, not the establishment right or the establishment left, want anyone new in, because the status quo is the goal, is to keep this status quo. So there's a lot that we can probably do beyond that. What do you see happening in going forward in terms of what people can be doing, at least in their own communities? Can people, like, who has power in my community? The city council, the clerk, the, you know, the secretary of state, nobody really knows. Who should we be petitioning to, like, at least let them know that we know and we're watching? I don't even know who has power at this point in the precincts.
Usually what happens is between the county commissioners and the secretary of state in a given state, they usually have a game of hot potato between who is allowed to make changes. So you have some secretary of state offices that say work in your counties, and then some of the counties completely defer to the secretary of state, knowing that nothing will get done. This is why canvassing is such a critical task, and it doesn't have to be done in conjunction with the 2020 presidential election. It can be done in conjunction with primaries. We've done that all over the country this year, or anything, or the midterms that are about to happen. We can have canvassing for that. And that is as simple as going through a precinct with the list of registered voters, canvassing the roll, making sure all the addresses check out. You can usually do this with a small statistical sample size. And when you find those parking lots that are casting ballots, or when you find the apartments that have 16 registered voters per unit or 23 registered voters per unit, like we found in Wisconsin, then that is a tailor-made case. And it doesn't matter who those ballots were cast for. That defuses the entire red versus blue argument. So if we're going to have clean elections, I think that most fair-minded people are saying they're clean elections, no matter who benefits right from elections. And that's an example. The canvassing is critical for finding the fraudulent registrations. Voter rolls are corrupt across the country, even in states where you think you have good voter rolls. Just look at some of the data that's come out of Florida lately that right shows the corruption in the voter roll, and how somehow still mail ballots are finding their way to voters who can't get any other types of mail because the post office kicks it back. You tell me how that happens.
Right. Yeah. And that is happening. There's a big problem with the United States Postal Service in this situation, too. I have a feeling they're a lot more involved than it seems. And remember, they got a lot of money during the PPP loans and all of this. And everyone's thinking, what is going on? So the post office is one thing. But what about these drop boxes? What I've been told is that also the drop boxes in the places where there was a lot of funny business, they had so many more drop boxes. But if you went into the red areas, you had to, like, find them. They were somewhere in the county. Are drop boxes still being allowed? Are they being watched? Should people, average citizens, go watch their drop boxes and be, like, citizen journalists there? What's with that? Because that seems like the most dangerous thing for me.
We have a number of states that have cut down or clamped down on some of the drop box issues, drop box regulations. Like I mentioned earlier in our interview here in Wisconsin, there was a ruling for the Supreme Court that ruled out unsupervised drop boxes. So now the only drop boxes are in the county elections offices, and you can only drop off if it's
That should be ballot everywhere. Yeah.
Well, so that cripples the ballot harvesting and muling operation in Wisconsin that cost Trump that state. Now, of course, you still have the concerns about the overall roll plus machines. Wisconsin has a lot of its own vulnerabilities in which you can order anybody's mail ballot without an ID and have it sent to any address that you want. So the drop boxes are still out there in some places. It was actually Carrie Lake, running for governor of Arizona, who recommended that patriots camp out at night, almost like a military CQ watch, from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and watch those drop boxes. If anybody shows up with more than one ballot, that's called ballot harvesting. You can't return anyone else's ballot. Then that is a crime scene at that point. So you get the law enforcement involved. Now, of course, all the left-wing groups would 100% sue for voter harassment, voter intimidation, and all the other victim statuses.
Right.
But that's a pretty interesting idea, to have patriot parties at the drop boxes.
Yeah.
To make sure that doesn't happen. Now, of course, you know, the New York Times, I just forwarded some information on my social media about that one time, where someone had a a party at one of these drop boxes, and they said that they stopped a mule from dropping off ballots. And I retruthed that, and the New York Times came after me and tried to interview me and put me on the spot as if I were trying to encourage violence against people that Now, of course, I knew exactly what they were doing, and I did not give them the soundbite that they were hoping to have about, yeah, let's get something started at one of these boxes. But really, if there's nothing going on at the drop boxes, then you should be happy to have everything in the world watch you drop ballots off at the drop box.
Right. Just like censorship.
I have my face on a camera every time I walk into a store.
Right. Well, that's the same thing with the voter ID. How have we done on that? Have any states put that back in? Because to me, I can't get on a plane without an ID, but I can vote for president without an ID. It's just completely ludicrous.
Well, North Carolina had some voter ID laws teed up in the recent years, and they were, of course, sued over them, and the courts created a big issue. And I think that's alive in their courts again in North Carolina. But yes, the voter ID issue, of course, the left tries to make ID about race, which really, if you go into, I always encourage people, go down into 100% minority precinct and ask around if they have IDs with the pretense that you think they're too dumb to have IDs and see if you get there with all of your teeth.
Right. It's true. And what's scary, though, now we have all these illegals coming into this country, and I think people are nervous that illegals are going to be voting in these elections. Is there any safeguard about that? Or are we going to have, you know, the Democrats go get all these illegals and have them voting?
No, because voter registration forms are pretty much, you know, my word is my bond, and we can sign up and check the box and say I'm a citizen, and we're going to leave it at that. But I posted on my Substack today, I'm not sure if you saw it, but there's a House resolution, 8770, that's out. And the Democrats in the Judiciary Committee proposed an amendment to that resolution yesterday, allowing for all non-citizens to vote in federal elections.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's not the law of the land. That's just going to go before.
Right, I know. But that they're even doing that is so disrespectful to the citizens.
It's not just respectful to citizens. It's respectful to people that want to immigrate here legally or have immigrated here legally, or people that are trying to legally obtain American citizenship.
Right.
Really, one of their key planks, the progressive movement, is to devalue citizenship altogether.
Right. Exactly.
Part of this country.
Yeah. Most of the people when I meet them, especially when we go to events, anyone that's here legally and went through the practice, you know, that took years for them to become citizens, they're proud American citizens. But I think the problem also with the illegals that are coming in now, they don't care about being American citizens. That's not part of their thing. And the people that are paying for it, UN, Catholic Charities, DNC, all these Democrat NGOs, they don't care either. So, you know, and so the real people who came here, they had to take the citizenship test, all of that. They're very proud American citizens, but I don't think we're dealing with American citizens at all in that respect. Now, I know you're kind of in a rush, so I want to ask you something just to find out what's going on with this. Has there been any, you've done so much work, honestly, all over the country. Has there been any law enforcement action other than what you've mentioned, but in terms of sheriffs, in terms of people, individuals getting arrested and charged with any of these crimes across the voter thing? Is there any movement in law enforcement handling this?
There actually was one recent action against voter fraud in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, it wasn't aimed in the right direction. The gentleman named, so Harry Waite is, I believe, a retired police officer from Racine County. And he requested Robin Voss's mail ballot during the primary, Robin Voss being the Republican speaker of the General Assembly. And he got Voss's mail-in ballot, and he didn't even have to provide proof of identification, and he had it sent to his own house address. So really just to show, hey, look, I've got your mail-in ballot. Look how easy it is to get your ballot. Well, by the letter of the law, that's illegal. No, he did it to show how vulnerable the system is. And he also did this understanding that he may face legal consequences. But of course, the corrupt Wisconsin Elections Commission lobbied for him to face charges for election fraud. And now they want to crack the book.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, my God.
I only know of a handful of sheriffs who have really taken the elections fraud issue seriously. A lot of them, even in very conservative counties, will laugh in your face. And you have Sheriff Lamb from Pinal County, Arizona. You have Sheriff Leaf from Berry County, Michigan. And you have Sheriff Schmeling from Racine County in Wisconsin. Those are three that I know of that are very serious about the elections issue.
Yeah, it is. It is really, really hard to watch that people don't care more about this, because you know what? Right now it's about Trump, and next time it might be about their guy. You know, you would think that everyone would want this, because I don't think we've had free or fair or open or transparent elections since they brought in the machines, if not since the beginning of the Republic. But, you know, we're at a place at this point where you got to keep fighting and keep doing what you're doing. Now, one other thing is, you go around, you speak all over the country, you speak at every kind of event, reawaken events, you know, at smaller events, big events. You've been out there. What's the pulse on the ground? When you get out there all over the country, do people get that this is bigger than just an election, that our country's in serious danger, or are they still not really clear in the masses?
Almost every sane person understands that stuff right now is not tenable. We cannot continue to go down the same path. You meet people all the time that are not quote unquote Republican. They're not Trump folks, but they know that something's not right with the country, whether that's their view on economics leading their opinions or whether this is about elections. Most of the political world cares about election integrity. And the left used to. Remember all their documentaries about
Michigan? Yes, I do.
Correct. Until they figured out that they could use all those tricks that benefit themselves and make sure that an existential threat to the political system was expelled from office. So we have that. Most Americans seem to be open to the fact that the country is in a position to where it's not going to continue to function
right
in the foreseeable future. And I've had these conversations with people who are not conservatives. These are people that are still leftists, where you get into a conversation and they don't agree about all things elections or all things medical freedom, but they realize that things aren't right. So really, we don't have a whole big chunk of people like we did there in the Obama years, where 50% of the country thinks the country's great and going on the right path, and the other 50% thinks it's going off.
Right.
I sense more of an 80-20, where people are like, it doesn't matter what we believe. The left doesn't like Joe Biden. They're basically burning their 4 or 8 years in a White House with somebody who is a non-factor, who's a political retread.
Right.
So that's not really a good feeling either if you're somebody who's on the left that's trying to alter the country too.
Right. And also, as a veteran and as a guy that's helped a lot of veterans, we are watching, you know, the military be decimated, in my opinion, by design from the inside out. They can't hit the recruiting numbers. They now have the diversity, equity, inclusion, like, tests that they give them before they even are even allowed to start the recruitment process. They've hit the military academies. And I keep thinking, like, where's the military with all this stuff, with the election fraud, with everything, the border, all of that? Are there good military men left out there that are willing to step up, or have they all been kind of silenced or discarded or whatever? Because I think a lot of people right now are like, at what point does that branch of you know, the checks and balances of America have enough?
Well, there's plenty of patriots in the military, and also there's still some in the agencies. Now, I would question the agencies at this point, where you see what they've been doing, right? Where patriots in the agencies, I don't really know how people can still continue to be part of that kind of
nonsense. I don't either.
The military, I'm not there yet. But to answer your question, the top of the chain in the military has been cherry picked for some time. Your general officers and your admirals in the military, those are political creatures for the most part. Every now and again, you see some that will slip through the cracks where they're the real deal, when we both know a few of them.
Yes.
Yes. So you get to the top, most of them are political selections, especially for specific postings. Most of the time, the president's going to pick somebody that's perceived to be from his own party.
Right.
And these are, more often than not, they're yes men. Now, George Patton was not a yes man. Dwight D. Eisenhower was somewhat of a yes man. The two of them in World War II couldn't get along, but they also knew that the mission was important. So they put their differences to the side. And by the way, how important would that be in this movement right now for people to be able to focus on the mission?
Right. I've been saying that big time, that it's not left or right. It's not Republican or Democrat. Right now, we're at a place where we have a globalist, elitist, billionaire, trillionaire class that is, I believe, has usurped our whole country. We see them all the time. We know that Bill Gates and Schmidt and think all these people have way more power than anyone that's in elective office at this time. They're aligned with the globalists internationally, and they have a different plan. That's why I keep saying to the American people, especially when I meet them or on the show, right now you're either pro-America, borders, language, culture, Constitution, Bill of Rights, our shared values, our hopes and dreams for our children, education, all of that, or you are with the globalists that would like to see the America as we know it no longer exist. And that's where I keep saying, you know, there are extremes on left and right, but I think we have more in common than the media and everyone that's manipulating us is putting out there at this point.
I agree with that. I don't believe, going back to your previous question, I don't believe that the military is going to rectify anything. It's too big of a problem, and that's not the solution that's going to be precise in any way. I don't think it's feasible based on what I told you about the leadership of the military anyway. But I do think that veterans play an absolute role in restoring where they're, you know, their areas of the country, their counties. And I run into a lot of veterans who are motivated by this kind of a fight, by the current conditions in the country, because that's what veterans were made for. Right. And shout out to Sonny for that thought. You know, those that say the military is the only way, well, perhaps veterans is what people mean. Right. So that's where my mind is. Everybody in their lane. Your lane is journalism. Your lane broadcasting. Your lane is shaping opinions. So you're a smart person. You don't tell people what to think. You teach them how to think. You know, you give them, you present them with new ideas and new perspectives, which go in the face of conventional journalism, which is propaganda.
Right.
That's your lane. And the minute you leave your lane, you suddenly become way less effective in your natural lane.
Right.
Which is why you don't see me getting off on onto other tangents with other topics, even though I care about them.
Right.
I care about the J6 prisoners 100%. I care about the CRT issue. I care about medical freedom, but I'm known for talking about elections. Yeah. And if I cease that, then I'm going to relinquish a pretty important piece of the battlefield.
Yeah, and we need you on that battlefield, because you you haven't given up at all. And I'm glad that you said that. I know that that the Patrick Byrne and General Flynn and Joe Flynn, they put together something called One More Mission for onemoremission.org. And it's for any veterans or retired cops or retired frontline workers that want to get involved and be poll workers. And I know that it pays, but it gives you also a purpose. And they're kind of thinking of maybe building that for veterans that still want to be in the mix and see, want to get involved, and as a hub to kind of figure out how to unite veterans and, you know, to kind of, I guess, what the American Legion does, but on a massive scale, where, you know, veterans are now getting involved in the poll watching and the precinct captains and all of that. The main reason is because what I'm watching on what I do is that the Soros group and the Zuckerberg group and all the billionaires that were involved in the 2020 election situation, they're hiring people to be at the polls. OK, and this is not good, because it doesn't appear that they're putting them through training like precinct captain. My dad's in his 80s. He went to train as a precinct captain. They're not going to training. They're not going to poll training. I don't know what these people are being hired to do, but I have a feeling that they're being hired to show up and cause problems at any precincts where there's anything. And if there's any funny business, we know that that'll escalate. So I think it's a good idea for veterans maybe to get involved now and in upcoming to this election, if they have the time and the energy and the ability to do that, because veterans have the ability to also, they come with respect right away and to diffuse situations, because I'm a little worried about what's going to happen on election day.
Veterans are tailor-made for solving problems. And I've told people that ever since I understood that to be true myself. I got out of the military when I was 29 years old, active duty. Right. And now I'm 37. And I see in hindsight more officer lessons today than I knew of when I was 20. And that's just from having lived another 8-9 years in the civilian world and seeing the problems that civilians deal with, that society deals with, and hearkened back to the time when I was in the military. So all veterans, especially officers and NCOs that have had some leadership experience, they really get it. And when they can apply those battlefield or military lessons, and they all deal with people, military officers and military NCOs are leaders of people, then you can figure out how to apply what those people do well onto the mission and what the mission needs and what you yourself do well, and bring that to fruition. So anything, any veteran that listens to this podcast that is concerned about the country, whether that's elections, CRT,
right,
whether that's just straight up Second Amendment rights or just being involved, medical freedom, you don't have a choice anymore. You're going to sit here on a sinking ship unless you jump out there and do what you can to change minds and to influence people, because all the rest of society tries to influence people against what you want.
Now, do veterans just, this is just the last question, because I know you got to go do important things. I wanted to say, though, do veterans that get involved that have pensions from the government and from the military and stuff, do they risk anything getting involved? Or, you know, because this seems like like returning into some kind of like a Stasi like a state. I wonder if more veterans aren't getting involved for any reason like that, if that's a situation or no.
I suppose it could happen. I know a lot of veterans who get a lot of compensation from the VA. I know plenty of veterans who are retired and collect a pension. I don't collect a pension. I'm not retired from the military. And I suppose with the stroke of a pen that things could change. You know, if you speak out against the government, then you'd forfeit this. Some veterans are going to say fine. Others are going to go back to living their lives. But I'll just say this. If you had a government that was willing to relinquish or renege on what they promised their veterans, then why would you want to consent to live under that in the first place?
I agree. I think this is the hill we all have to die on, because the future that they have planned, the communist Marxist globalist that we are really at war with, it's no future for most of us or that we want for our children or grandchildren. So thank you for all the work that you do. I also would like people to please subscribe to Seth's Substack and follow him on social media. He's a very prolific social media person. He's becoming quite the comedian out there too. So very, very great to follow him. Captain Cashel, will you tell everyone where they can find you?
Absolutely. On Truth Social and on Telegram and Getter, I am at Real S. Keschel, R-E-A-L-S-K-E-S-H-E-L. And my Substack is skeschel, S-K-E-S-H-E-L, .substack.com.
Okay, and we'll put all the links below.
I put out some free work every week and also some paid content as well. And that's usually my deep dive analytics into the pandemic of erectile dysfunction.
I know. And you also have your 10 steps to cleaning up the elections going forward. I mean, you're just getting started. I don't even know where you're going, but your trajectory, people love you. And whenever you show up at events, people want to meet you and everything. It's amazing. You've taken this niche of figuring out the election fraud into like a whole new level. So
I try to blend in at those events, Mel. It's not working.
No. Well, when you're 7 feet tall, it's not easy. But no, you're really standing out as a real hero. I know that this wasn't the role of the hero that you believed that you would end up in, but you really are a real hero. And I think you're just getting started. And I believe your 10-point plan, when we are turned around and our country is back on track, will actually go into effect on a massive scale in our whole nation. So thank you for all your work. Thank you for coming in. And please, everyone, go to his Substack. All the links are below. Follow him on social media. He's a treasure trove of information, and he shares a lot of great stuff. So please follow Captain Seth Cashel. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for the positive words. And know that I also, and many other people also, appreciate your unique perspective on journalism. So God bless you, Mel.
Thank you, my friend. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Hello, Patriot Pals. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel K Superfoods. A lot of people do the food prep programs that they come in, you know, freeze dried and all of that. This is not that. This is a full serving of fruits and vegetables and protein. It is a way to maintain a healthy diet, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what happens in this country. Because again, it's very affordable, and at the same time, it's very easy to follow, and it is like having a full garden outside your house that you're going and picking fresh fruit and fresh vegetables every single day. You have that same nutrients inside your cupboard. You know, prepare now, be ready. A lot of people do prepping stuff. This is an excellent way to prep to make sure that you and your family always have the essential nutrients that you need to live a healthy, full, life out there. Please check out Mel K Superfoods. We're loving the program. We'd love for you to join us. Please get in touch with the show if you're having benefits from the Superfoods program at Mel K Superfoods. We'd love to hear from you. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead. Guys, I've been warning for months and months about the World Economic Forum and the private Western Central Bank rate reset. On top of that, the ESG proposed by Larry Fink and BlackRock, which is the CCP social credit score tied to the central bank digital currency, which would end privacy and autonomy for all free people on planet Earth. Just recently at the World Economic Forum, these people got together and decided that not only will they have a central bank digital currency, but that it will be tied to a universal ID that every person on the planet would have to receive. This ID would track and trace everything from your financial life, to your health records, to your social justice, to your environmental footprint, to everything that you can imagine, your business, your expenditures, your groceries, everything that you do in life would be monitored, tracked, and traced by these people in Davos, if they can get away with it. I don't believe they can, because we the people and God Almighty have the power. You have to make the moves today. Invest in silver and gold and other hard assets. Get your money into small banks, credit unions, and savings and loans that are local and benefit your local community. And start preparing in your home with supplies and whatever you need going forward. We the people and God Almighty will save this planet. But that means we have to take action steps to walk away from the central bank digital currency and their planned great reset. Do that today, please. God bless you and your family, and God bless and save America and all free people on planet Earth. No matter what, God wins, but we need to make the moves now.
Hey, Patriot pals, Rob Reilly here. One of the most important things Mel and I do in this war between good and evil is traveling the country, meeting fellow patriots like yourselves. We share stories, resources, gain new tools, make new friends, and get activated to take back our freedom for God and country. Go to themelkshow.com events and come join us. You will have an amazing experience and be reinvigorated to stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As always, God wins. See you there.